Shut your grandma's balls.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Chicago loved Justin Fields, and we were sad to see him go.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
We're very excited about Caleb Williams, but I want to say wholeheartedly that
the Rich Eisen Show,
Justin Fields caught the heart of Chicago, and I don't think he got a fair shot.
Earlier on the show, Atlanta Falcons CEO Rich McKay, senior writer for Sports Illustrated Chris Mannix. Coming up, WWE superstar Paul Heyman, Texas defensive tackle Devontae Sweat. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Great in-studio chat with Chris Mannix of Sports Illustrated on the Lakers' big comeback win last night. What it means, the scandal that appears to be befalling the NBA right now on the prop betting front with Jonte Porter, as well as talking about the upcoming Mike Tyson-Jake Paul match. If you missed any of that, we re-air at the end of this show, which is 1 hour away. We also had a great chat in hour number one with the head of the NFL Competition Committee, Rich McKay, on why the league voted in new rules for kickoffs, a new rule for a swivel hip drop tackle being now eliminated from the game, and what they're doing to help out the officiating of the game using instant replay. If you missed that, again, we re-air at the top of this hour. There's also the Rich Eisen Show collection page, a fancy way through our Roku channel connection to call something a video on demand service. There's our YouTube page, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. We're closing in on 750,000 subscribers. That's 750,000 kids. And we're very proud of that. There's also our podcast. All 3 hours, you can listen to the show whenever you want to, every single day. Give us a subscription or a follow on our RSS feed through the Cumulus Podcast Network there. Paul Heyman, the wise man for Roman Reigns, the future WWE Hall of Famer. He's about to zoom into this program in advance of the big time event every single year, WrestleMania 40, extra large coming up in Philadelphia. Are you going to that, TJ? You're going to go to Philly?
Still up in the air, but we're keeping our fingers crossed.
TBD.
But I've wanted you and Paul Heyman to have a conversation.
I know that.
Because I just feel like you two will gel. And I'm really looking forward to this.
Why? Because we're both Jewish from New York City.
Exactly. Yeah. I didn't want to be the one to say it, but yeah, exactly.
Okay. We've both been bar mitzvahed. Is that what you're saying?
Okay. The Briss is my favorite episode of Seinfeld.
Okay. So. Very good. Whoa. Well, that's different from a bar mitzvah.
Yeah, I know. I'm just adding on. I was just adding on to I was just showing
really,
you things.
It's actually Briss is subtracting. It's not adding.
But, but don't bump.
So there's that.
Okay.
Looking forward to it.
Okay. Paul Heyman's going to be joining us on this show shortly. But joining us right now, I enjoyed watching this man work out at the combine, and certainly running 5.27 at 366 pounds made me think, my gosh, how slow am I? One of the best at the position, defensive tackle from Texas football, Tavondre Sweat joining us here. How you doing, Tavondre?
I'm doing great. How are you, man?
I'm great. Happy to have you on this program. What tips can you give me to running the 40-yard dash, Tavondre?
Well, first off, I want to say it's an honor for having me on the show.
Thank you.
What tips I'll say is I give all credit to BC, man. Without that guy, I wouldn't even be running that fast.
So
it's all about training.
Okay.
You got to train for it.
Train for it.
Foreign concept, I know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm 54 with two jobs, man. I don't know about training. I don't know. I got three kids. See, you're just focused on just a draft. I got that going on, Tavondre.
You go to BC up in Frisco.
Okay.
XOs, he'll get you right.
Okay.
He'll get you right.
But again, I've been told you gotta stay down for as long as you can and then not pop up. I mean, I imagine, it helps to play your position where you leverage is you always got to be low. So that might help you, right? But then you found another gear, man, when you were running at the combine.
Well, everybody say leverage and like speed, because when they see my number, it's like, he's 366. Like, well, we gonna get out of that. You know what I mean? Then when everybody say I'm so athletic, And the way I moved, they'd be like, because if you go back to my interview when I said I was going to shock everybody, it was like, you know what I mean? So that's how it is.
That's how it is. You can move around at that weight, no doubt about that. Tavondre Sweat here on the Rich Eisen Show. I think I heard prior to the combine, but we didn't meet at the combine, what your nickname is. What is your nickname, Tavondre? What is your nickname?
Well, I got a couple. From UT have their own Hispanic radio.
Okay.
And I met with their guy. My nickname for them is T-Bone.
Okay. What does that mean? What does that mean?
T-Bone.
Okay. Got it. Okay. And then I guess then what is your other nickname?
Shout out to my godmom. Her name's Miss Ebony. She named me Meatloaf. Loaf, Big Loaf, whatever you... Anything loaf.
Big loaf.
Anything loaf is what
anything
is what you
loaf.
Okay. Meatloaf. Why did she choose Meatloaf?
It actually happened at a basketball game. What was it? Some AAU tournament, and it was halftime. And she was like, "Come on, Meatloaf." And next thing you know, that was my nickname.
It stuck. Okay. Fantastic. So there's that going for you. And then obviously the eye in the sky and everything else and your tape. So what will a team get if they draft Tavondre Sweat in Detroit next month?
They'll get a guy with a great personality. They'll get a guy that loved the game, very passionate for the game, and they'll get a guy that wanna win.
And this photograph that's on the screen here, where is this from, Tavondre?
Big 12 championship, you know. Mm-hmm. You see my guy back there, Murph, but that's me hitting the Heisman, scoring my first touchdown. It was awesome. And it happened in a Big 12 championship, so that's what made it even a special moment.
And I imagine you've been dreaming of this moment, right?
Yes, sir, all my life.
How many touchdowns have you scored in your career, your life?
Actually a lot. People won't really believe me, but I was a quarterback and running back when I was little. So
okay. When did you play quarterback? Pop Warner?
It was like Pop Warner.
Okay. So then when did you begin to grow up into the Tavondre Sweat that we see here today?
Middle school, I went to linebacker. Then after that, I started getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
And now here you are as an Outland Trophy winner from the Great Longhorn program. So how you watched, I imagine, this program sort of transform with Steve Sarkisian. What did he bring to the equation that finally gave credence to the concept of Texas is back?
Well, me personally, I feel like he brought more of belief, trust. I feel like he brought a lot of belief and trust. Because he always tell us, once we believe in and trust in him, what he had planned for us, we're going to win the championship. And that's what we did. And we had to sacrifice.
And then that's how it actually translated into more wins for you.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Who is the toughest player you've had to face or stop in your tenure at Texas that we might know about? Who would that be?
I wouldn't even say I have the toughest player.
Okay.
But I would say the toughest group. I give a big shout out to the guys that played at Wyoming.
Wyoming.
That was a great group.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be the one that...
It was a great group of guys.
No kidding. That wouldn't have been the one that would jump out at me. How did you wind up at Texas, Tavondre?
I'm a mama's boy. I give all praise to my mom. Without my mom, I wouldn't be in this situation, of course. I'm a mama's boy. I want to be close, but not too close. My mom from Houston. And Houston's like 2-3 hours. And I know she just ain't going to pop up here, so... So but she had come.
That's so cool. And so that's why you wound up part of the reason at Texas. So,
well, and another part I came also, my bad for leaving this out.
Go on.
Just the connections I got here. from a young age, and the UT alumni base is unbelievable. Like, you can go anywhere in the world. I promise you, it's going to be one UT alum there. So, like, UT alum base is, like, everywhere in the world. So that's part of it. And once you meet somebody, then that's a connection. And that connection builds to another connection. So just coming to the school and the education is unbelievable, getting a degree from here.
You're talking about McConaughey as well, the minister of all things Texas, the actor Matthew McConaughey? That's another good
one.
He's one of them.
Yeah.
So who have you visited with? Who you plan on visiting? Who did you talk to at the combine? Give me some team names that have already touched base with you, Tavondre.
I kind of talked to all 32 teams already. I give a big shout out to Jim Nagy, because that guy, he gave me the invite to the Senior Bowl. And he gave me an opportunity to talk to multiple teams at the Senior Bowl to get me prepared for the combine and a pro day. So I give a big shout out to him. I kind of talked to mostly all 32 teams.
So which team did you follow growing up?
Me growing up, I was always a Drew Brees fan.
Okay. So a Saint?
Yes, sir.
So you were growing up a Saints fan?
I was a Saint.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
What about the Cowboys?
I really wasn't. I'm more of like a player fan, like NBA. I don't got no favorite NBA team, but
so he's your favorite.
I'm a KD fan.
Okay, KD's your guy, because you know the Cowboys could use somebody in the middle of their defensive line. They could really use that. That's exactly what they're looking for.
I love to stay home.
Okay. All right. See, I'm trying to help you out there, TJ. You know what I mean?
I appreciate you.
Trying to help out the Dallas Cowboy fan that's here on the show.
Okay. Yes, sir.
So where are you going to be draft night?
I'll be here home in Austin.
Okay. Who's going to be there? Walk me through the Tavondre Sweat draft gathering.
Of course, you know, Mom Duke's going to be right by my side. You're going to have my brothers. And you're going to have other family and friends.
Okay. Well, good luck to you. Good luck to you, Tavondre. I look forward to saying your name on the NFL draft coverage that night. I hope to say it on Thursday night, and I hope to see you go crush it in the NFL. This will be the first of many times that we chat with each other.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
You got it.
That's an honor.
Oh, right back at you. That's Tavondre Sweat, the defensive player of the year from the Big 12 Outland Trophy winner and so much more right here on the Rich Eisen Show. And now that I know his nickname, when he gets drafted, we can play this right here.
Hey, Mom! The meatloaf! We want it now! The meatloaf! Ma, the meatloaf!
Right?
I wrote down anything loaf as a possible fantasy loaf? Football team name.
Right. Wouldn't that be great?
Anything loaf.
Wouldn't that be great instead of reading off the draft card, Roger Goodell just quotes Will Ferrell and just says that straight from the right to the podium?
The meatloaf! That'd be great.
I think we need
want
to have
it now! The meatloaf!
We need to have Will Ferrell on standby.
Is he still on? He's still watching.
We need to have Will Ferrell on standby.
What do you think, Tavondre? What do you think? Wouldn't that be great if that's the way you're introduced in the NFL? Wouldn't that be great?
I would love it.
We want it.
And Goodell's draft, after he calls his name, he does a little Ma the Meatloaf dance.
I love it.
But like, when we know Tavondre is getting picked, like, instead of Roger coming out, it's Will Ferrell, and he just makes the pick.
Right.
And that's the sign that he's getting selected.
I'm on Burgundy.
That's going to be it, Tavondre.
Ma the Meatloaf.
So you approve that. You would approve that, right?
100%.
Okay, great. 100%. Thank you. Very well.
This has to happen.
We'll try and make that happen. Take care.
Can I hear that one more time?
Yeah, go ahead. He wants it one more time. Go ahead and hit it. There you go.
Hey, Mom! The Meatloaf! We want it now! The meatloaf! The meatloaf!
Do you know what that's from, Tavondre? Have you never seen that movie?
I did it, but you gotta play that. Oh. You got to.
It's from a movie called Wedding Crashers. And you should see it. I think you'll enjoy it.
That was it.
That's awesome.
Devondre, you gotta watch that today.
Tonight.
Right?
Like,
yeah. Right now.
Right now.
Wait, what is it called?
Wedding Crashers.
Vince Vaughn, Owen Wilson.
I will.
You'll love it. Crashers. And then wait for that at the end. Yeah. That'll come at the end.
The first 2 minutes will hook you. And
there you go. After that. Who knew? Take care of yourself, Devondre. There you go. Right. Glad he hung on. I'm glad he stayed. I'm glad he stayed on. Same to you.
Take care, brother.
Thank you. All right.
All the best.
All right. Let's take a break. Paul Heyman, WWE superstar himself, right? Paul Heyman's coming up next. The wise man himself, right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. With Indeed, everything hiring is all in one place, and it makes it so easy. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences each day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. The more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join the more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Indeed.com/podcast. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to Talkville, the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Title Transference aired October 27, 2004. Director James Marshall, writers Todd Slavkin, Darren Swimmer. I really like this episode, and I'm surprised that you don't like it as much as you thought you did.
I actually respect your opinion more than I respect my own in general. When you say things are good and I check them out, they are.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.
He is here dressed head to toe, full on, with the beard and the robe and everything, and the sandals. Will Ferrell dressed as... Go ahead, tell the radio audience who you're dressed as today, Will.
Jesus. Courtesy of Spirit Costumes. Made in China, mm-hmm. And it's adult. And if you can focus in on the bottom here.
Yes.
One size fits most. One size fits most.
So they're not really committing, are they?
No.
You're not really committing. One size.
One size fits most.
How does it fit you? It looks like it fits
pretty good. Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah,
pretty good. But yeah, I am.
And you've got a Dodger cap on as well.
So I want to support my Dodgers. I looked at the calendar. It didn't dawn on me that until yesterday.
Yeah.
That today is the 30th.
It is that.
And I thought, God, the beard. A beard really puts me out of breath. I don't know why.
You've got an intake, because it is up against the nose a little bit here.
There's only this much.
Yeah, I just
coverage.
See the eyes, right.
But boy, Jesus does love his omega-3s. Look how shiny the beard. Anyway, my point is, my kids, we have a rule in the Ferrell household. The boys get to pick out my Halloween costume every year and have to wear it no matter what.
Okay.
So they had picked out Jesus. I thought, day before Halloween, I got to wear it for Rich on his show.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, children. Thank you, children,
so
for me.
So this is courtesy of Axel, Magnus, and Matthias.
Okay.
They thought it'd be fun.
Why did they...
I don't know. There's no... Last year, I was a poop emoji.
So you were on the gamut.
One year, I was just a heavyset guy.
Okay.
I think I was Where's Waldo another year. Yeah. And so then, there's no rhyme or reason.
Okay. All of Will Ferrell's appearances, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show for our full archive there and all of our celebrity interviews and our entire show, quite frankly. Back on the Rich Eisen Show radio network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Boy, man, next couple weeks is just going to be dynamite for this guy because there's a documentary that he directed and produced on Roman Reigns on A&E coming up on the 31st of March. Then there's the huge WrestleMania XL that's taking place in a couple weekends in Philadelphia. And the Friday leading into that, this man's going to be inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. First time of what... maybe just be many, because you say TJ, you and I are about to hit it off. The great Paul Heyman here on the Rich Eisen Show. How you doing, Paul?
I'm lonely. I wish I was there with you.
Glad to.
I don't know why you didn't fly me in for this.
You know what? Next time, we'll get Roku on that.
So this one's the audition to be there.
No, Paul, I know you're used to the private jet treatment. I'd never want to throw you just in a mere first class. You know what I'm saying, Paul? I don't want to do that to you.
I respect that.
Thank you very much. Hey, congrats on the induction into the Hall of Fame.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You got your speech all written out? Do you got a speech going here? What do you got?
No, I'm going to figure this out as we go along. I'm going to take the pulse of the room that night. I'm going to wing this because I don't know really what the crowd itself is expecting from me. You know, is this a crowd that wants me to talk about the modern day WWE and Roman Reigns and the Bloodline and the WrestleMania main event of Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes? Is this a crowd that's, you know, in Philadelphia wants to talk about ECW? Is this a crowd that's looking for some inspiration in a speech about pursuing one's own dreams, et cetera, et cetera? I really won't know till I take the temperature of the room that night. And as you know better than I, you always have to know your audience.
Yes. Yeah.
So once I feel the crowd, I'll pretty much know what I have to do to deliver for them.
Well, let's kick some tires on this. Let's try and work this thing together. Let's workshop it, Paul. I feel like we're Mishpucha. I'm from Staten Island. You're what? You're Bronx? You're born in the Bronx? Is that where you're from?
I'm originally from the Bronx. I can't really take credit for, you know, being a Bronx street kid because we moved to Westchester when I was four.
Okay. You know? The mean streets of Westchester? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I was in South Central Westchester. You know, where the polo ponies roam free.
Understood.
My first 4 years I was on Bainbridge Avenue and Gun Hill Road. My grandmother was over on DeKalb looking across the street at Montefiore Hospital.
Oh, sure.
So, you know, I am originally a Bronx boy, but, you know, only to the extent of, you know, as a toddler.
Okay. Bronx-born, Westchester-bred Paul Heyman right here on the Rich Eisen Show. So how did you first get involved with wrestling, Paul?
Like all good Jew boys, I took my bar mitzvah money and invested it in something. And this time it happened to be a camera and some photo equipment to develop the film. And I never wanted to be in front of the camera. I always wanted to be behind the scenes. You know, the old actor's adage of all I want to do is direct. So I wanted to get on the inside of the business, and I used my camera to BS my way inside Madison Square Garden as a photographer. And from there started peddling my pictures to the wrestling magazines. And from there, started to take over wrestling magazines and started to know everybody from within the business because I just never wanted to be on the outside of it. I just never wanted to be one of many. I always wanted to be on the inside presenting the show. I just never had the patience to sit in the audience and watch a show.
Right. So what was your big break then? What photograph or moment caught the eye that started everything going for you?
I took a picture of Vince McMahon Sr., Vincent James McMahon, who was the promoter at the time of Madison Square Garden, standing in the hallway with Andre the Giant, because I used to use 400 ASA film. This was way before digital.
Sure.
And it was very, very fast film. You didn't need flash with it. So as I'm walking down the hallway about to take a right to go out to the ring to cover the matches, Vince Sr. is in the hallway with Andre the Giant. So because I had this fast film, I had the camera down low, which actually made Andre look even more massive than he actually was. It just started and took 36 pictures, hoping I'd get one really good one out of it. I happened to get three really good ones out of it. I developed the pictures. I had a photo release drawn up, and the next month I gave it to Vince McMahon Sr. And, you know, young man, you're very entrepreneurial. Are you in school? And at the time I was in junior high school, but I looked older and I had a deeper voice. And I said, yes, sir, I am. He goes, are you working your way through school? And my answer, well, I'm trying to. And, because I wasn't going to tell him I'm in high school. I'm going to think I'm in college. And he, he folded up a $50 bill Vegas style, and he shook my hand, and he goes, "Oh, contribute to your transportation fund for coming down to the garden and throw some books of your education." And the next month, bring me a couple more pictures, and we'll do business this way. So for the next garden shows throughout his life, I would go and bring Vince Sr. some pictures, and to which he'd give me $50 per show. Huh. And I'd spend 30 seconds with the man and get away from him, because I knew not to overstay my welcome or get busted for being a teenager. From there, I just started BSing my way into getting covers of magazines and eventually taking over wrestling magazines, for which I had now a platform that actually did get me a press pass into events all around the world.
So then which is the first wrestler, for those who may not know, that really took you on and you became their wise man and things took off from there, Paul?
You mean as a performer?
Yeah, sure.
Yes. As a performer, I got to know all the power brokers,
yes.
like Dusty Rhodes, Cody Rhodes' father.
Yep.
As a photographer, I snuck into production meetings that Dusty Rhodes was running when he was the opposition to WWE down south with Jim Crockett Promotions and the NWA and WCW. And I got called out of the room by Dusty, and he asked me what I was doing there. When I told him I'm there to learn from him, he actually let me go back into the meeting. And by the time three or four other meetings took place every other week, I ended up in the front row learning from Dusty Rhodes. So once I knew all the power brokers, it was easy as a talent at 21 years old breaking in to get put with either big stars or future big stars that I could then learn from and rise up the cards with.
So when did Studio 54 come into play? How the hell did that happen, Paul?
I was 19 years old.
Awesome.
And there was a charity event at Studio 54. And I called the press agent for it, said, "Listen, I know a bunch of wrestlers on national TV." And this was during the time of the first WrestleMania, which had all the publicity in the world because of Hulk Hogan and Mr. T. And I said, "I could bring some nationally televised wrestlers down to Studio 54, and I could arrange for at least one cover of a magazine, if not three. You just got to let me in the door with my camera." And because it was a charity event and a lot of media was there, they let me in. As luck would have it, on this night, the house photographer at Studio 54 was drunk off of his ass, and he started throwing vodka bottles at the bartenders, one of whom, by the way, was Christopher Maloney, who went on to be one of the biggest television stars of all time.
Sure. Okay.
And I was standing next to a gentleman named Worsham Rudd, who was the director of Studio 54, and this was like Humphrey Bogart in Casablanca. This guy had run nightclubs in New York dating back to Regine's and the Copacabana, and now he's running Studio 54. And I see the security tackle the house photographer and throw him out the door, and I watch this guy get thrown out, and I looked over at Rudd and said, "Isn't that your house photographer?" And he says, "Well, he was." And I said, "Well, don't you need a new house photographer?" And he says, "Well, I do." And I said, "Well, I'm volunteering for the job." And I got hired on the spot. And then one thing leads to another, leads to another. And I become an in-house publicist. And one thing leads to another, leads to another. And I start producing and promoting Friday nights at Studio 54.
Oh, my God.
All 19 years old. And with no experience except the experience that I'm getting on the job, but what better experience and what better thing to have on your resume than learning as you go along?
So the Heyman hustle began as a teenager. Is basically what I'm picking up.
Oh, I was hustling just coming out of the womb.
See, we're working. If you haven't realized, we're working the edges of a Hall of Fame speech here, Paul. You know what I mean? Like there's some things that we can work. We can work part of this in and then move our way through. But I'm fascinated by the Studio 54 part of this thing here. Give me a good story that you're willing to tell from back in that day. What do you got?
The old expression about Studio 54 is those who claim to remember being at Studio 54 obviously never went. there are a lot of stories of which the statute of limitations have run out now about Studio 54.
I love that.
You know, it's
a much celebrity. You got a good celebrity sightings that jumps out at you from the heyday.
There is, and I'm going to disappoint you now terribly, I'm sure. The one thing I really hate is people who gossip. Even when I watch people tell stories, and it's like, oh, well, why would you ever tell that story? Isn't that something personal? And people that were celebrities that were coming to Studio 54 that ended up on my camera reel, at least, were there to have a good time and enjoy themselves. And if enjoying themselves, they did something scandalous or crazy. You know, even though it's back in 1985, and most of them are dead now, you know, for me to gossip about them, one, most of the stories no one would actually ever truly believe. You're going to think I'm embellishing them or exaggerating them. Two, here's what I can tell you about Studio 54 back in 1985. Forget the Playboy Mansion. This thing was like Caligula. it was like Roman times. It was a nonstop 24/7, 365 orgy that allegedly closed its doors at 4 o'clock in the morning was last call. And the party really started around 4:45.
Very good to know. I will accept that as an answer, Paul Heyman. Speaking of Roman, let's talk about your present day. Do you like that as a little turn? How's that?
It was a great segue.
Thank you, sir.
This is why I pay you the big bucks.
Thank you, sir. I greatly appreciate it. I'm working my way up to private jet status. So with Roman Reigns and your relationship with him, this guy could have crushed it in any generation, Paul? Doesn't matter, the current generation?
Roman Reigns would be the greatest star in the industry, no matter what generation he came across in.
Well, what jumped out at you when you first met him, Paul?
I first met Roman Reigns when he was 3 years old, and his father, Sika of the Wild Samoans, brought him into the locker room in Panama City, Florida. And even at 3 years old, he had so much charisma. I mean, I thought he was going to become a child star. You know, like a child actor, like Ron Howard or whomever, you know, just he Roman had so much charisma, even at 3 years old, just, well, nice to meet you. You know, just shaking your hand. And you look into those piercing eyes and you say, oh, my God, this kid's a star and he's 3 years old. Just he had that intangible it factor. You just knew you were in the presence of someone or something special, even though it's a three-year-old kid running around.
Well, what if somebody had told you when that three-year-old kid and you met him that you were going to be the wise man for this kid when he's going to dominate the WWE and the wrestling world in the way that I don't even think you could even fathom how significant the wrestling world is now based back even then. I mean, how significant it is now. What if somebody had told you that back then, Paul?
I would have signed the kid just like that. 100%. If you told me I had an opportunity to sign him at 3 years old, I'd have that contract drawn so fast. I wouldn't give anybody a chance to talk him out of it.
And then, of course, there's the biography that you are the director and producer of, WWE Legends, featuring Roman Reigns. That's going to be airing on A&E, debuting March 31st. So that's, but I mean, a heck of a week is coming up soon, Paul, the way through to the end of your to your induction and then WrestleMania. That's coming up.
And then, by the way, two successive main events on Saturday and Sunday at WrestleMania. It happens to be a little bit of a busy week for us. The biography of Roman Reigns is an interesting situation because it speaks to the persona and the character of Joe Anoa'i, who is Roman Reigns. Because when they approached us, he did not want it to be like any other A&E biography. So the first thing that he demanded was that I direct it and produce it so that it has a different feel to it, so that it captures the core of the man as well as the character and the persona. So our approach was not only, as we do with everything, to produce and present what we hope is the greatest biography that's ever been seen on A&E, you know, lofty goals admitted, or something that's worthy of an Emmy. If the Emmy Awards would get their heads out of their asses and actually take a look at the work that we've been doing together, but also just to present a, you know, if you're a WWE fan, this is what we feel the quintessential, the ultimate, the disruptive, the state of the art biography. And if you're not a WWE fan, you've never heard of the Tribal Chief Roman Reigns, that this biography is so compelling that you're riveted by it and you tune in and go down the rabbit hole because you're so compelled to watch this story.
Well, I mean, you know this already, Paul, but I'll do, you know, I always like leaving my guests in a better spot. You know, you're supposed to schmooze the Emmy voters, not point out the orifice in which their head resides, right, Paul?
Well, you know, we've been schmoozing and presenting and sending out press releases and begging and imploring and bribing for, you know, how many decades? And we get no love, we get no flowers back. So now comes the time to blackmail, cajole, or point out aforementioned orifice.
That's right. For your consideration to remove your head from your ass, long enough to give us an Emmy nomination or an award for the WWE Legends featuring Roman Reigns, the biography. What's your opinion on The Rock coming into the fore again, Paul? What do you have there?
The most brilliant move Dwayne Johnson has ever made is to jump on this runaway train of success that all started in August 2020 when Roman Reigns had an opportunity to come back as the Tribal Chief and lift sports entertainment itself, the entire industry, out of the pandemic into unfathomable heights to where WWE is part of a $21 billion merger with UFC and Endeavor, creating TKO Holdings Group. And The Rock sees the success. And The Rock sees the global enormity of the success of WWE led by Roman Reigns. And The Rock now brings his considerable star power and his team and his efforts and all that goes with being Dwayne The Rock Johnson, the single biggest box office attraction in movies today, to WWE. To me, it's yet another merger. Just like WWE and UFC, it's now the Roman Reigns-led WWE product and all that comes with The Rock and being the biggest movie star in the world, and you merge those two universes, and now you have a multiverse.
There you have it. Well, it's a team effort here, Paul, just like where you are as well. I've got my Rich Eisen Show wrestling aficionado, TJ Jefferson, who adores you and adores everything about the sport of wrestling. And before I let you go on with your day, I'd love to hand things off to you, TJ.
Appreciate it.
You have the floor with the great Paul Heyman.
Well, you know, when we have the wise man, when we do have the great Paul Heyman in house, it was necessary for me to break out my Dangerous Alliance t-shirt there, Paul, to show respect to one of the greatest, most underrated factions in the history of professional wrestling, the faction that you led with Stone Cold Steve Austin, Larry Zbysko, Arn Anderson, Rick Rude, Medusa. So I do have a question, but I want to just give you your flowers first because I've been a fan of yours since I was about 13, 14 years old, seeing everything that you've done, coming up with the phone as Paulie Dangerously to the Dangerous Alliance.
Dangerous, that's right.
Bringing in ECW. And you guys might not know about ECW, but what it did is it changed the face of wrestling forever, but a hardcore reality style, which Paul led. And Rich, just to give you an idea, I was at a show in Pittsburgh once and there was a big kind of like a trash bin outside. And you notice that people would bring items with them. People around me in line, this is just what I saw, an old computer keyboard, a vacuum cleaner, a broom, and there was something else. And at one point during the show, New Jack's music hits and he brings this garbage bin out and you could smell the disinfectant. You can smell the Lysol just permeating through this gym. And literally everything that I saw people had in line, Paul, New Jack picked out and used and like literally beat to death whoever he was fighting. And the crowd loved it. And that was ECW. And that was just a beautiful thing. So when you talk about your speech, you said you don't know what they want you to talk about in Philadelphia. I'm sure ECW will be or should be a big part. And that being said, now I'll get to the question. When you and Roman did get together, it was during the pandemic, like you said, we didn't really have fans in there. We didn't have a big storyline. It happened at the end of Raw, if I'm not mistaken. The camera pulls back. You're sitting on the couch next to Roman, and that was it. How did that come together? When did you guys decide that was the right time to kind of combine forces? Because you've worked with his cousins, the other Samoans, in the past, but how did you decide that this was the moment?
Well, Roman and I had been talking about working together for many, many years. And it just, the timing was never right in that WWE was presenting him as the big dog, as the big hero, as, you know, this WrestleMania main eventer to follow in the steps of John Cena. And I was the advocate for Brock Lesnar, and just leaving that position would have been insane. I also then became the executive director of Monday Night Raw. Now the pandemic hits and Brock Lesnar wraps up his time in WWE and goes off to Saskatchewan to hunt and kill what he puts on the family's dinner plates. You know, the entire landscape of sports and entertainment and sports entertainment is changing. And Roman Reigns had taken time off because his wife had given birth to another set of twin boys, and also because of the pandemic and his health concerns regarding staying safe for his family during this unfathomable health crisis that was gripping the entire world. So in August 2020, when I'm Brock Lesnar free, I'm no longer the executive director of Raw, so I'm in the ocean of obscurity at the moment, and Roman Reigns agrees to come back to WWE if he's allowed to portray himself, and we get a chance to work together. He rescued me from the ocean of obscurity, pulled me onto the island of relevancy with him, and we have been together ever since.
I love it.
It's been an amazing partnership. And, you know, again, Paul, like I said, the Dangerous Alliance, it was a big deal to us true wrestling fans.
Wow.
And yeah, man, it's amazing. It's great. Wrestling is in just such a phenomenal spot right now. And, you know, I thank you for all you've done. And I can't wait for WrestleMania. I can't wait to see where this bloodline goes. You said after WrestleMania last year, you were in the third inning. What do you think? You're in maybe like the top of the fifth now? Just
every time I talk about innings, you know, it gets shoved up my tuchus, you know. And of course, we're saving all orifice references for the people.
Very good.
I've kind of gotten away now from baseball analogies because I've learned in my experience that baseball is fake. So I whatever inning that we're in, we're dominating that inning.
You are, yes.
And it's a game that I would suggest may go into many extra innings as well, and some of that we have to give credit to the final boss, Dwayne the Rock Johnson, for adding a whole new set of layers and therefore innings to the story of the bloodline.
Well, thank you for bringing your fastball to this program, Paul Heyman. From everything, from all the stories to the geography lesson, make a note that the island of relevancy rests in the ocean of obscurity. I now know all that. TJ's been taught the word tuchus. It means butt.
Oh, yeah, I knew that.
Okay, very good. And congratulations on everything coming up, from the March 31st debut of Biography WWE Legends featuring Roman Reigns that you, sir, directed and produced, debuting on A&E. And then there will be the April 5th induction into the WWE Hall of Fame ahead of WrestleMania XL, Saturday, April 6th and Sunday, April 7th in Philadelphia at Lincoln Financial Field, which you can see exclusively here on Roku on Peacock. There you go.
Nice.
That went very well.
I mean, I fanboyed out a little too hard right there. But, you know, it's Paul Heyman, man.
He's been around
for a minute. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Apologize for nothing, TJ.
It's all good, man. It's all good. When we come back, we will wrap things up with just like we did yesterday on the 49ers and what's going on with them and their future considerations for their quarterback. That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
I got an email today from the LenPenzo.com HR department. I find it really interesting. I'm an employee of one at this company, but somebody from the HR department sent me an email telling me that I had a raise. If I just opened the attachment, I could see how much my raise was.
Make sure you click on the links that are in there, too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I can't wait. I'm excited.
Find out more by searching the Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
Hi there. Sorry for the interruption, but are you enjoying this show on Google Podcasts? You should know that the Google Podcasts app is going away this spring. That's right, going away, gone as in no longer available. You can still enjoy this show elsewhere, though. Try out Spotify or Amazon Music, or maybe TuneIn is more your style. Whatever app you switch to, be sure to follow so you never miss the next episode. And thanks for listening, wherever you listen.
Back here on the program here. So back to Tavondre Sweat before Paul Heyman. We were talking in one of the commercial breaks that you're surprised he'd never seen Wedding Crashers, or...
I wasn't that surprised. These guys were, I think, a little shocked, but that movie probably came out in, what, 05?
I mean, you've got the internet in front of you.
Well, so do you. So, and he's probably 20 years old. So, yeah, that's...
Tavondre Sweat came out in 2001.
Right, so he's 4 when that movie comes out?
Right, so he's never really seen Wedding Crashers.
You know what I mean? So... It is on cable a lot, but I can't imagine a 20-year-old just sitting around flipping channels.
And again, my 15-year-old saw A Few Good Men. I showed Xander A Few Good Men the other day. He had never heard of Jack Nicholson before.
Wow.
Which makes sense.
I mean, that's wild.
When was the last movie Jack Nicholson was in?
And plus, what other Jack Nicholson 15? Movie would you have shown him, you know, like?
The Shining?
Departed?
I mean, he's the Joker to me.
No.
He's the Joker. Batman next with him?
Like, Departed? I mean...
You should do the Michael Keaton Batman.
I mean, again, the De Niro movie, War on Grandpa.
That scarred you, didn't it?
It did. I feel like I've let him down so
I think
deeply.
Departed was his last movie.
But,
Didn't he bring it up? You said he brought it up when you
He did, because I said to him, you need to see, I'm proud that I'm showing you A Few Good Men as the first Jack Nicholson movie for you. Good. And then, because I feel like I let you down with Robert De Niro, at which point he said, "Who's that?" And then I'm like, he's one of our greatest actors ever. Uh-oh. And he was in the first movie you saw of his. He was Grandpa in The War on Grandpa. And he goes, "Oh, that I like that movie." I'm like, no, this is going in the wrong direction. This is not the direction I want to go in. But again, what De Niro movie I'm going to show him? Not Taxi Driver. You know what I mean?
Batman, Rich.
Well, for Nicholson, you're talking about.
Yeah.
Right, sure. Back on the Rich Eisen Show. Get the Game Time app on your phone and your mobile device right away and start buying tickets, certainly in time for Major League Baseball season starting, because Game Time is now the authorized ticket marketplace of Major League Baseball. And the best part about it, it's so easy to get tickets faster and easier and even cheaper, because prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to the first pitch. So, you know, hold your powder, if you will. Go check out the view from your seat in the stadium, so you could see where it is and how you can see home plate. You could see the pitcher's mound. You could see the bullpens, whatever you want to do. And the Game Time app can actually also let you know the all-in price before you buy your ticket, so there's no sticker shock. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and there's $20 off your first purchase if you use my promo code of Rich. Restrictions apply. Visit GameTime.co for terms. Again, create an account, redeem the code RICH for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Went out the door yesterday talking about how I'm like confident that the Niners are going to sign Brandon Ayuk because it's his turn next to get his long-term deal. He's entering year 4. They're going to have to pick up his fifth-year option and play it out from there unless they sign him long-term before that. And I'm like, listen, I'm confident. I do believe what Kyle Shanahan had to say at the owners' meeting. I believe what John Lynch said earlier in the week, although John Lynch saying that, hey, we're used to, you know, signing our own and things usually take care of themselves. The same thing happened with Debo. Same thing happened with Nick Bosa, so on and so forth, and George Kittle. Although that was the response, I think, that elicited Brandon Ayuk going to his Instagram feed and putting out 5 emojis talking about the famous line about what walks and what talks. And I'm like, I'm confident in it. And I got some pushback from some folks saying, you know, they're going to have to pay Brock Purdy. And I'm like, yeah, I know, but they're also going to have to make sure Purdy is taken care of with folks like Ayuk. So Jed York, who is now the principal owner of the San Francisco 49ers, he had this to say about what happens when it's time to pay Brock Purdy, who's now entering year 3.
I mean, I think it's a good problem when your quarterback is one of your highest paid guys on your team and in the league. So there's a lot of planning that goes into it. But, you know, again, I'm glad that we have Prague, JL, Kyle. Like, they're the ones that will figure out the details of it. And I just have to sign the check. So My part in that's pretty easy.
But kind of hard too, isn't it?
It's not hard. I mean, it's what the market is, right? Like, it's not like Brock is going to ask for something that no one has ever asked for before. You have, I don't know how many players making over $40 million as a quarterback right now. And when we signed Jimmy several years ago, you know, it was the largest deal in the history of the NFL for 3 minutes. But we were paying Jimmy 26 or 27, and you see, like, the market has just, it's changed. And I, like, whether I like it or not, like, that's what the market is. And you have to accept the reality of the world. And to me, the quarterback is the most important position, not just in football, but in all sports. And those guys should be paid a lot of money.
Makes sense completely right there. It's a very, I think, level-headed way of looking at it. Big problems to have, first-class problems to have. How are you going to pay your guy who's currently, right now? Do you want to guess what his cap number is for this year?
It's probably like $875,000.
You're a little bit low. It's $1,004,000.
$1,004,000.
Yeah. $1,004,000.
That's insanely low.
0.3% of their salary cap.
Yeah, and this is the last year that they will have him on.
That's
that,
it.
On that
now,
number.
That's the point.
That's it.
That is the point.
The last
and
year.
You've got to factor in Brandon Ayuk's numbers for this year, yeah, and the fact that you're still paying Purdy this, so you'll have to pay him that. And then you know, the other folks that he had mentioned, in addition to John Lynch, are the capologists and the front office people who have to figure this math equation out. But figure it out, they will. And then this is the year. Because year four, Purdy will be, you know, on his last year of his deal, and nobody lets their quarterback play out their contract on the last year of their deal unless they're the Dallas Cowboys. But the Niners do have the opportunity to franchise tag Brock Purdy in their back pocket, which the Dallas Cowboys don't have, making this an even crazier situation. That'll wrap up this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We'll be back to wrap it up on the Roku in a moment.
We're all in.
Movies, TV shows, books, podcasts, and more. It's What Women Binge with Melissa Joan Hart and her friend Amanda Lee.
We have Lauren Bosworth with us.
Yay!
The Hills. So what is, like, your number one question from fans?
The primary question I still get asked was, "What is it real?" In 2024, to me, is a surprising question to get because I feel like everybody has been through the reality TV gauntlet at this point.
What Women Binge, wherever you listen.